Before we start, I have to tell you, funny thing happened to the program. I spoke to Rabbi J.J. Schachter before Shabbos, and everything was fine. He was perfectly fine. He sounded good. And then I got a call from him very soon after Shabbos. I couldn't even hear him on the phone. His laryngitis was so bad that I could hardly make out who it was on the phone. And he... What? Yeah, right, that's how you get cured. So he got quite sick, quite ill over Shabbos, and obviously was not able to travel. He said that, let's put it this way, there's good news and there's bad news. Okay, the bad news is that Rabbi Schachter couldn't come. He was not able to travel. The good news is that we have Rav Herschel Schachter here. So it isn't going to be too difficult to cover the time. I do have to stop Rav Schachter when his plane is taking off, and that way, you know, we'll know that the time has come. First of all, I'd like to thank the Center for the Jewish Future of Yeshiva University, who sponsors these programs all over the country, sending down great Rosh Yeshiva and all kinds of people from Yeshiva University for the benefit of communities. And we'd like to thank them very, very much for this program, which is part of the Legacy Heritage Fund, and that is that's our sponsor. Levi Mostovsky, who is taking a picture of me, is the coordinator of the program, and we'd like to thank him very much for coming here. And if you want to hear an unbelievable story about spending Shabbos, you'll talk to him. When he had to get out of his car just before Shkia on Collins Avenue. What can I tell you? We're very pleased that he's here. At this point, Rav Herschel Schachter, I don't think there's a community in the United States, and I'm sure in Israel as well, where he requires any introduction. Everyone has heard his name, everyone is familiar with Rav Schachter. Rav Schachter is a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University and is also the Rosh Kollel. And he is of the most important poskim in the United States today. I can't even begin to imagine how many Rabbanim consult with him about difficult questions and receive Piskei Halacha from him. And this is absolutely invaluable to Rabbanim throughout the world to be able to be in touch with Rav Schachter. In fact, once Rav Schachter told me there was a case, some kind of a Din Torah in Australia. Just to give you an idea of his influence, there was a Din Torah in Australia which they wanted, they specifically called him so that he would review the case and give his opinion about the situation. So Rav Schachter is sought out throughout the world and has very graciously agreed to come here and now to be giving two shiurim. I picked him up last night at the airport and with losing an hour of sleep, it really is something which we very much appreciate. So it gives me great pleasure and it's a great honor to be able to introduce to you to speak about the Haggadah and matters of Pesach, Rav Herschel Schachter.
Thank you very much. The minhag is that on Pesach night, the father of the household, who's presiding over the Seder, puts on a kippel before you start the Kiddush. There are two explanations given for this minhag. What is it based on? So the classical explanation that's quoted in most of the commentaries on the side of the page in the Big Shulchan Aruch is that on Pesach night, all year long, the Talmud tells us after the destruction of the Second Temple, the rabbis recommended we shouldn't really ever have a party where we have everything. You shouldn't have a party where you have all of your silver, dishes and all your fancy meals and all the courses, everything, should always leave something out. We don't always do that. We go to weddings a lot of time that have 100 courses. We go, a lot of time you don't go to weddings. Stay home, and you have more than enough. But in the Talmud, it says that after the destruction of the temple, the rabbi said, as a zecher l'chorban, we should never have kol tuv, except on Pesach night. Pesach night is man chereseinu. We celebrate our freedom. So we take everything out. And it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and even if we lent money to someone, to a non-Jew, and they gave us a mashkin, they gave us some silver piece, and we're not supposed to use it, on Pesach night we put it out on the table, we're not going to use it, and we show that we're, even the poorest of us, act like he's a multimillionaire and we have everything, all the best. So because on Pesach night we have so many courses in the meal and all the silver and everything is there, so we may get carried away with ourselves and we may sin. So we wear the kippul, which is the beged mason, which we put on people who are dead before we bury them, to remember Yaskelo Yaimami, so we shouldn't sin, to remind us that we shouldn't sin. That's why the classical commentary says, Shulchan Aruch, that if the father of the household is an avelus over a parent, so then there's no need to put on the kippul. He's thinking about death the whole year. All year long he's thinking about death. And they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he was very upset about that explanation. He thought that that's not at all the reason for the wearing of the kippul. The reason why the father of the household puts on the kippul is because the Vilna Gaon is reconstructing. The Vilna Gaon lived in the 1700s. He wasn't there in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash. He has a comment based on the passage in the Talmud in one place in Gemara Tainis, that it's inconceivable that when the Jews came to Yerushalayim to participate in eating of the Korban Pesach, they would wear the regular suits and they would eat the Korban Pesach. Can't be. Must be that they didn't wear Big Day Kahuna. Only the Kohanim wear special uniforms, Big Day Kahuna. But they must have worn special Chaluk Lavan. They must have worn some special white garment to indicate that they had to be pure, they had to be Tohar. Everyone had to go to the mikveh before they ate the Korban Pesach. So they would probably wear a white garment to show that they're in a state of tahara. So our wearing of the kittel is a zecha to the days, to reminisce about the fact that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to wear this, probably wore this special white garment before they participated in eating the Korban Pesach. So the Vilna Gaon says that's why it's enough that the father of the household wears it. We don't require everybody to wear it. It's only a zecha. So it's not necessary for everyone to wear the kittel. And that's why he thought that even if one is in a state of avelus, even if the grandfather, the father of the household, is reciting the Haggadah, is in a state of avelus, he should also wear the kippul. It's interesting, we, in the course of the Seder, we have Kadesh, Uchat, Karpas, we wash Netzilus Yadayim without a bracha before we eat the Karpas. What is that all about? They tell the story about the Yeshuvenik. That before he when he washed until the Siddhain, before the Karpas, they said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Alekeinu Baruch Olam, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvotav Tzivanu, when he sat down. And then he said, Baruch Pi Adom on the Karpas. So he asked him, what was that all about? What do you mean, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvotav Tzivanu? So he said that it says in the Haggadah, he washed until the Siddhain, you don't say, Al Natil Siddhain. So he said the whole bracha up until he thought those were the instructions. He thought he was following the instructions. Say everything except for Al Natil Siddhain. So what is it all about? What do you mean? Why do you wash without a bracha manashach? Either you say a bracha and you wash. You don't have to wash. What kind of business is this to do a mitzvah without reciting a bracha? So this is because of the principle of Safik Bracha Slahaka. Whenever we're in doubt, we leave out the bracha. We don't want to recite a bracha levatolah. So we're in doubt whether you really have to wash until the Siddhain before eating the karpas. What's the issue? In the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the people had to make sure that they are in a state of tahara, in a state of ritual purity. They shouldn't be tameh. One who's tameh is not permitted to eat a Korban Pesach. So, because of considerations, the Gemara has a principle that Stam Yadayim Shniyot, that if a person is not careful about taharas Hayadayim, so his hands are declared as tameh midirabbanah. So the hands that are tameh are going to make, if he's going to dip, let's say, Danish in coffee, so the Danish is going to be moist, and he's going to be mitami the water on the Danish, and the water will be mitami the Danish. Then when he eats it, he's going to become tameh. He's not allowed to eat any Korban Pesach then. So they had a takana with the Rabbanon, at least the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, they had a takana with the Rabbanon, that whenever one eats some food that he's dipping into a liquid, when you're eating with your fingers, if you're eating Cheerios or cornflakes with milk, and you're eating with a spoon, you're not touching the Cheerios, so then you don't have to wash until it's your dying. But if, let's say, you rinsed off grapes, or you rinsed off an apple and you're going to eat it, and it's moist, it's still moist on the outside, it didn't dry off yet. So they made a takana with the rabbanon, you have to wash until it's yadayim and say a bracha before you eat the grapes that were rinsed off. The question is, the whole reason for the takana has no meaning today. Today, all of us are tamei. Everybody went to a funeral at some time or another. So everybody's tamei. So what do you gain by washing until it's yadayim? You're not going to remove the tumor from your hands. Everybody's tamei, the whole body, everything is tamei. So that's a big dispute whether this takana mid the rabbanon that was instituted in the days of the temple, that people have to make sure that they remain tohar in order to eat karbonis, whether that takana still applies today or not. So Taisus is of the opinion that it does not apply today. The whole takana does not apply, and that's what most people all year long. They eat grapes that are rinsed off and they're still moist. They eat apples that are wet, and they don't wash until it's a diamond and rinse. And the Rambam's opinion is no, that you have to wash until it's a diamond, you say a bracha. Like before eating bread is a takana mid the rabbanon. So before eating a dovish tivula b'mashke, before eating some fruit or vegetables, whatever, something that's moist with a liquid on the outside, you have to wash with a bracha. So because of this dispute between Tosfos and the Rambam, that's why we wash without a bracha. So some of the yekis have a minig. It says in their forum from centuries ago that only the father of the household washes netilas yadayim before karpas. Before you eat the matzah, that's for sure a takon. Everybody has to wash until it's a diamond. Mizokta bracha also. But before karpas, many have the practice. Many parts of Europe, the practice was that this is only a zecha lemikdash. All year long, they don't wash until it's a diamond when they eat fruits that are moist. Only on Pesach night. So the reason why Pesach night is different is because it's a zecha lemikdash. So just like the kitzel is a zecher, it's to reminisce about the way things were in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's sufficient if the father of the household wears the kittel. So too, with respect to washing the tilas yadayim before dipping the carpets into the salt water, it's only a zechel amigdash, so it's enough if the father of the household washes the tilas yadayim. In most places in Europe, that was not the practice. Most places, the way it's described in the Shulchan Aruch, most places had the practice that everybody washes the tilas yadayim before you dip the carpets in the salt water. And that's what one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz, printed on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, poses the question, Manishtana halayla hazem mikol alaylos. How come all year long the people are not careful to wash until it's yadayim when they're dipping a Danish into coffee? How come only on Pesach night? He doesn't go for this answer that on Pesach night it's a zechel amigdash. Zechel amigdash would be enough if the father of the household would do it. We require that everybody should do it. So the Taz in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch says that more correct really is that all year long we should wash without a bracha before we eat an apple, or dry off the apple before you're about to eat it. So that's before we get to first base, before we even begin, the father of the household puts on a kittel and you start the seder. The seder starts, of course, with kiddush. Like on any Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to recite kiddush. And there is a principle in the Gemara that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that kiddush has to be recited in the same place where you're going to eat the meal. It's supposed to be recited immediately before you eat the meal. Let's say a lot of people recite Kiddush on Friday night or Shabbos morning, and then before they wash until it's yadayim, they carry on a whole conversation for 20 minutes. That has nothing to do with the meal. That's not really right. Immediately after Kiddush, you're supposed to go straight away to eat the meal. So on Pesach night, we don't do that. Pesach night, there's a longer Megillah, there's a whole Seder in between the Kiddush and the meal. It takes, depending on how many grandchildren you have, how many gematrios and Rosh Hashanahs you have, it can take an hour or two. But that's the Takanas Chachamim, that's considered Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Since the Kiddush is recited and you have to say the Seder, that's considered B'Makom Suda. But because it takes so long between Kiddush and the meal, so a lot of people don't remember that the din is Kiddush has to be recited B'Makom Suda. So sometimes we have a reason why we have to split up the Seder on Pesach night. Let's say the children just got married and the both sets of parents live in the neighborhood and they want to spend the first half of the Seder with these parents and the second half with the second parents. So someone Khalilah is sick in the hospital. So they want to have the first half of the Seder at home, then they're going to go to the hospital. You can't say Kiddush at home and break up your Seder by going, you can't say the first two cups of wine till Gaul Yisrael at home and then they're going to walk to the hospital or walk to the other set of parents and say, wash until it's a diamond, say habaiti there. That's a violation of the principle of ain't kiddush ala b'makom suda. You have to make kiddush and eat the meal in the same place. After you say habaiti in the middle of the meal, then there's what to discuss. Then there's a possibility you can go, you have a mind to eat some more later on. So you can break up your meal in two parts. start the meal over here and continue somewhere else. In fact, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, days in the second Beis HaMikdash, that they always had the Seder in two different places. They always broke up the Seder. The Talmud tells us that for the purposes of eating Korban Pesach, Gagan v'Aliyah Zlaynes Katshu, the rooftops, Gagan, or the Aliyahs, the upper floors, don't have the Kedushas Yerushalayim. You must eat the Korban Pesach on the ground floor. You cannot eat the Korban Pesach on an elevated floor. So the Gemara says, Dir Hatika, the old city of Yerushalayim, is simply not big enough to hold all of the millions of people who came to participate in Korban Pesach. The Gemara says they once took a census to find out how many Jews there were. Yanei HaMelech, as I'm sugarin, he's crazy. So he wanted to take a census of how many Jews there were. So he had the Kohen Gadol count up how many Korbanos Pesach there were. The Gemara says there were at least 1,200,000 Korbanos Pesach, and there were at least 10 people participating per Korban Pesach. So there were at least over 15 million people came to Yerushalayim. It's impossible. There isn't enough room on the ground level. In the Yir Atikah, it's not so big. It's not so big. You can't eat the Korban Pesach and bite the gun. You have to eat it dafke in the old city. There isn't enough room for everybody to sit there. So the Gemara says they had to eat in shifts. Those of you who used to live in New York will remember that on Sukkot, a lot of communities, there weren't enough sukkahs, so you had to eat in shifts in the sukkah. So the first shift, the second shift was all, you had to draw lots. Who's going to have the schus to eat in the first shift? Who's going to have the schus to eat in the second shift? Or who's never stuck to eat in the third shift? Whatever. So the second shift is standing on top of the first shift. Hurry up and finish eating. We don't want to make kiddush at midnight. And the third shift is standing on top, breathing down the necks of the second shift. Hurry up and finish. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that's what they did. They always ate in shifts. So the Gemara says the first shift and the second shift, however many shifts there were. If you have 15 million people, you've got to have a lot of shifts here to squeeze everybody in. So the first shift had to say Kiddush and had to finish the whole Seder till after the eating. They have to have Kiddush from Makom Suda. So they had to finish till after the eating of the Korban Pesach. They eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. Then they had to bench right away. You can't eat the meal here and go bench somewhere else. So they had to finish till the end of the third cup of wine, till the end of the benching. And then they would kick them out. The second shift would kick out the first shift. They would go to the rooftops. The rooftops, you can't eat Korban Pesach, but you can say the Hallel. So they would finish the Hallel on top of the rooftops. And the Gemara says that there was a common expression that they used to say, Kazaisa Pischa, they only ate a Kazais of the Korban Pesach. And then they would move up to the rooftops. The Halela, the reciting of the Hallel, would be Poka Igro. A lot of times you go to a wedding and there's so much dancing, the boys are dancing so much, you have the feeling as if the floor is going to collapse, because the floor is shaking. So the Gemara says they would dance so much when they would recite the Hallel on the rooftops, the people thought that the rooftop is going to cave in. Halela, the Hallel is going to be Poka Igra. Igra is a roof. They thought the rooftop is going to cave in. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, many of the shifts would have the Seder in two different places. The rabbis didn't require of us that we have to dafke eat the Zechel HaMikdash. They should have made, we have to have the Seder in two different places. You have to have the first three cups should be in one location, and the fourth cup should be somewhere else. They didn't require that of us, but that would be permissible. But you can't split it up. You can't split up your Seder in two parts, have the first part up until the meal in one location, then have the meal in another location. That's simply in violation of the principle that we observe all year long. Kiddush must be recited the Mokam Hasuda. But in addition to Kiddush being a regular Kiddush, like all year long, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they have to recite Kiddush. On Pesach night, the drinking of the cup of Kiddush has another meaning to it. It's the first of the Arba Kaisis. And therefore it has special added dinim. So first of all, people make a mistake. People remember that under the chuppah, when they got married, so they took a sip of wine. The rabbi gave them a cup of wine, took a sip of wine. On Pesach night, you're not yosef, you're not getting married. You're not yosef, you just take a sip of wine. The din is he's supposed to drink the whole cup of wine from top to bottom. And if that's too difficult, then the Gemara says, second best is ruba kukula. You have to drink the majority of the cup. It doesn't make sense if you're afraid you're going to get drunk, or you don't want to drink so much, or don't get such a gigantic cup. You can't have a baby cup. The cup has to have a minimum of a volume of a revius. The revius is the volume of an egg and a half. Our eggs are on the large size. The eggs that we use, we only see large size eggs. The small eggs they make mayonnaise from, so we never see those baby regular eggs. But it has to be the volume of an egg and a half, a normal, a beinoni, a base of beinoni is an average size egg and a half. And you have to drink lechatchila the entire cup of wine. And second best is, we say ruba kukula, but it's not just that you take a sip of wine. A lot of people make a mistake. Secondly, kiddush all year long is sufficient. The balabas, one person makes kiddush, and everybody else is here. So strictly speaking, the other people don't have to drink any wine. The practice was in the days of the Talmud that everybody would have a sip of wine. Either everybody would have a cup in front of them, and they would have their own wine, that they would drink from the balabas's cup of wine, whatever it is. But strictly speaking, kiddush all year long is sufficient. If one person says the kiddush, and that's good enough. On Pesach night, this is a big dispute. Is it sufficient? The balabas has arbakaisis, and everybody just sits there, and he's drinking away, and we just watch him? Or do we require that everyone has to drink arbakaisis? So we follow the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam says everybody has to have arbakaisis. The drinking of the arbakaisis is we're making a toast, alachayim, that we're free. So we toast our freedom. We drink four cups of wine, toasting to our freedom. So each one has to have a cup of wine by the kiddush. Not the same as all year long that with the balabas says kiddush and he drinks the cup and everyone's yours. Everyone has to have their own wine. And thirdly, there's another difference between all year long. That all year long, when the balabas says kiddush, he fills up the cup of wine. When he says Abdallah, I said Abdallah last night, so I filled up the cup of wine. On Pesach night, the Shulchan Aruch records the minhag based on the expression that appears in the Mishnah. It says Mozgulo es hakos, Mozgulo, someone pours the wine for him. So the minhag is that because we're acting like we're multimillionaires, like we have servants to pour the wine for us, so we always have someone else pour the wine. I remember on one occasion we had a non-observant Jew visiting our Seder. So there's sometimes a concern, depending on how non-observant the person is, maybe if he pours wine, maybe he makes the wine trace, and even the wine that's left in the bottle will also become trace, depending on how non-observant he is. So the practice in our home was that I was a little boy, I was before bar mitzvah, so I was pouring all the wine for everybody. So my father said, Herschel's going to pour all the wine for everybody, that's the practice, and he said, that's what it says in the Mishnah. That's what it says in Mishnah. Mozgalo takos. Someone else should pour the cup of wine. So the fellow didn't realize. We always did like that. I always poured the wine. But the guest didn't realize that there was a special consideration in his case. Dafka didn't want him to pour the wine. He shouldn't make a trick. So this is a special meeting on Pesach night. Someone else pours the wine. The show is this. So we have a servant pouring the wine. We don't pour our own wine. All year long, we don't have such an insistence. All year long, you say, Kiddush, you pour your own wine. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that on Pesach night, one should not begin to recite Kiddush until after it's Pesach Kocham Tzilat Nacht. What is that all about? All year long, the Gemara tells us one can be Mekabel Shabbos early. Mosif and Mechol al HaKodesh, there's a mitzvah, many are of the opinion, there's a mitzvah to enhance Kedusha Shabbos. By extending the Kedusha, you add Kedusha before Shabbos begins, you add Kedusha after Shabbos ends, you make Shabbos Kodesh longer, Yontif, you make it longer. When it comes to Avelis, we try to chop off. We say, Miktus Ayom Kukula, you chop off the Avelis. When it comes to happy things, when it comes to Tumah, you chop off. When it comes to happy things like Yom and Mekudoshim, Shabbos and Yontif, so you want to add on, you want to be Masif and Mechoyla La Kodesh. So the Gemara tells us that if you Mekabel Shabbos early, you can recite Kiddush early also. You can recite Kiddush when the sun is still shining. In fact, there is a dispute in Taisus. Some are of the opinion you can eat the whole meal and bench when the sun is still shining. Let's say Mekabel Shabbos early, say Kiddush, and you eat the whole meal and you bench. Others don't agree, but that's many are of the opinion you can bench when the sun is still shining. So on Pesach night, that's a big dispute. Is that acceptable to eat the Korban Pesach when the sun is still shining? You Mekabel Yontif early, so you Masif Mechoyel Al HaKodesh, and then I'm going to eat the Korban Pesach, make the whole state of Al-Assad is still shining. Is that acceptable? So that's a dispute. On Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that you cannot do that, because the Pasuk in Chumash says, V'achlos HaBasa B'alayla HaZeh. You have to eat the Korban Pesach by night. Even if you're Masif Mechoyel Al HaKodesh, even if you're Mekabel Yontif early, but still it's not Laila, it's not B'alayla HaZeh. And the same says regarding matzah, but erev tochel matzah, you have to eat the matzah dafka balayla. So the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that you cannot begin the Seder until it's vaday layla, because even the reciting of Kiddush, the drinking of the first cup of wine, is the first of the arba kaisa. So you can't begin to recite Kiddush until after Tzeis HaKachov. I remember one rabbi called me up. He's a chaplain in an old age home, in a nursing home, and they can't begin to say this. They can't wait till Pesach Kacham. The people are going to fall asleep in the middle. What should he do? So I gave him a suggestion, and he calls me up after Yom Tov. He said it worked. I told him Echad Miyodeh Echad Gad is irrelevant. That's not part of the Seder. I said, tell the people you're going to start with Echad Miyodeh. So he started with Chad Gagin, all the things that we say at the end. After you finish drinking the fourth cup of wine, all the rest is only minhag. So I said, start with that. B'amatim Zerach Pesach. So they started with all the things in the end, and that wasted 20 minutes in the beginning. Then they said Kiddush. It was after Laila, right? So he called me back. He said, that solved the whole problem. The old people went for it. Okay, that solved the problem. Is Gevaldik. If you really have a big Shas HaTzchak, if you have a situation with either you're going to say Kiddush and start to say there early when the sun is still shining, because they're just not going to have the Seder at all. So if you have a Shas HaTzchak, we rely on the other opinion, okay, that you can even eat the Karb Pesach when the sun is still shining, as long as you're Mekabel Kedushas Yotzer. But we're healthy, young, healthy people who don't have any Shas HaTzchak, so Baruch Hashem, we can begin to wait to recite the Kiddush until after Pesach Kachavim. When one recites the Bari Pri Hadoma over the Karpas, so Tosfos in Tzachim raises an issue. Tosfos raises the question, how come we don't say Bari Pri Hadoma before we eat the Maror in the middle of the meal, after the Matzah? How come we don't say Bari Pri Hadoma? So whenever you eat a meal, let's say on Shabbos, we said Hamotzi, then you got some potato kugel in the middle of the meal. So you don't say Bari Pri Hadoma on the potato kugel. You don't say on the vegetable soup. You don't say Bari Minim Zainis on the Lakshin Kugel. You don't say Brach in the middle of the meal. You don't say Shahakal over the fish or the flesh. Whenever you say Amoytzi Lach Menor, so everything in the meal is covered. So one opinion of Tosfos says, simple. So Amoytzi Lach Menor, it covers everything you eat in the middle of the meal on Pesach night. So the Bari Pri Hadoma, you don't have to say Bari Pri Hadoma over the Mor. Yeah, the Shaila is, what if a person eats a chocolate bar in the middle of the meal? It has no shaychus at all with the rest of the meal. So if it has no connection, it's not dvar haboy machmas hasuda, then it didn't require that you have to say a bracha. So with other opinions and tests to say, what do you mean? Eating horseradish in the middle of the meal, which meshugan eats horseradish in the normal course of events in the middle of the meal? You're only eating the horseradish because it's a mitzvah. It has nothing to do with the meal. Doesn't fit in. So others say you should say Bar Pri Hadoma. Others argue back, no, but the halacha says that's on the menu tonight. The Torah says, even though it's not normal to eat horseradish in the middle of the meal all year long, but the Chumash says that's one of the courses in the meal tonight. So one opinion of Tosfos is, Mora doesn't require a Bichas Hanenin. You don't have to say Bar Pri Hadoma over the Mora. It's Dvar Mahaboy, Machnas Hasuda. Either because it tastes good, those who eat romaine lettuce, it's normal to eat lettuce in the middle of the meal, or even if you're eating horseradish, the halacha says that it's on the menu tonight. That's the course in the meal tonight. And others say no, that since it's abnormal to eat maror in the middle of a meal, so you really should say Bar Pri Hadoma. And of us, when you said Bar Pri Hadoma on the karpas, you covered the maror from later on. So when you say Bar Pri Hadoma on the karpas, you have to have in mind that you're going to have the maror later on. And others argue back. This is all in Tosfos, back and forth, back and forth. So Tosfos quotes the others, argue back, what are you talking about? It can take an hour from the time you say Bar Pri Hadoma on the karpas till you're going to get to the mar. It can take who knows how long till all the grandchildren, till the saying all the pshetlach that they learned in the school. It can take forever. So they argue bedafke not. No one ever heard that anyone says Bar Pri Hadoma over the mar. But they argue it's not because of the Bar Pri Hadoma that you said over the karpas, it's because of the hamaisi that you said over the matzahs that the mar is covered. So bottom line, what it says in the Tosfos, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch is the following. We should be choshesh for the both opinions. We should have in mind when you say Bar Pri Hadoma over the karpas that we want to cover the maror as well. But according to the other opinion, the Bar Pri Hadoma doesn't cover the maror. It's going to be such a long pause. It's a hesach hadas. You're saying the Haggadah in between. So that's why it says one should be careful not to eat a kazayis when he has the karpas. Maybe you have to say Bar Nefoshes afterwards. Since it's such a long tour, such a long Hesach Hadas, that not only does the Bar Pri Hadoma over the Karpas not cover the Mora, you should really say a Bar Nefoshes if you eat the Karpas. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch they recommend both directions. You should have in mind when you say Bar Pri Hadoma over the Karpas, they should cover the Mora, but you should be careful not to have a Kazayas of Karpas, so it shouldn't be a Shaila of Bar Nefoshes. So the proper, usually people are starved when it comes to the Seder, they're hungry, and they want to eat, some people like to eat potatoes for karpa, so they want to eat a couple of potatoes, deposit. Until they're going to eat the meal, they know they're going to be hungry. So in Shulchan Aruch they recommend that one should not have a kazai. No, no. It's a chumrah. If a person wants to have a kazai, so let him have a kazai. Mentioned as a chumrah in Shulchan Aruch, a recommendation. Right after we have the karpa, so we have yachat. We break the middle matzah in half and we put half of the matzah away. What is this all about, yachat? So the Maharal Miprag in his Haggadah explains what it's all about. The rabbis had different comments on the expression that appears in Chumash that the matzahs are called lechem oni. Lechem oni, one meaning is lechem oni. This is the bread that the poor people used to eat. So one comment the Gemara has is madakish aloni beprusa. A poor man, Nebuch, can't afford to buy bread on his own. He has to go ask for a handout. So he knocks on the door of some of the people who do have, who can't afford it, and they give him leftover. They give him the leftover chalas and shabbat. They give him the leftover bread. So the oni, the poor man, is not going to have shlema. He's not going to have a full. He can't afford to bake his own challah. He can't afford to go buy in the bakery. He's going to get the leftover challah or matzahs, whatever someone else has. So on Pesach night, we should have a prusa, dafka, a broken matzah. All year long, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say hamoitzi over two challahs, lachamishna, two shlemas. And even in the middle of the week, when you say hamoitzi, if you have a choice of either saying hamoitzi over a shlema, a pashlema, a full roll, or a sliced bread, that they have a gigantic bread and it's cut in half. And this half of the bread is bigger than a tiny little challah, tiny little bulkala. So it's better to say hamotzi over a shlema, over a full roll, rather than to say hamotzi over a prusa, over a broken, even though the prusa is 10 times bigger than the shlema. But on Pesach night, the Gemara says that the dafke we should use the prusa because the matzah is referred to as lechemoni. Then the rabbis have another comment, lechem oni, lechem she'oinim all of dvarim habi. You should have the matzahs on the table while you're reciting the Haggadah. Oinim all of dvarim habi, we should recite the Haggadah with the matzah on the table exposed. It should be uncovered. So the Maharal Miprag points out that we combine the two together, our practice. We break the matzah before we start the Haggadah. In order to have a prusa on the table, it should be lechem madakti shalade beprusa, and it should be lechem shoinim olo dvarim harbei. We should have the broken matzah exposed while we're reciting the whole Haggadah. The Rambam does not have like that. The Rambam has that when you're about to say hamotzi, after the second cup of wine, and you wash until it's dying with a bracha, and you're about to say hamotzi, then you make one and a half. He has instead of 2.5 matzahs, the Rambam has 1.5 matzahs. So the Rambam says you break the matzah before hamoitzi, but our practice is not so. We break the matzah before we begin the Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, in order that we should have the prusa, the broken matzah, should be lechem shoinim all of dvarim harbei. We already had a sip of the wine, or we drank the whole cup of wine when we recited the Kiddush. And then, before we start the Seder, before we start the Haggadah, we fill up the cup again. So the Gemara has a din that a koishal bracha, let's say the kois of Kiddush, or the cup that you're going to say bench bechas hamazon, has to have shtifa v'adocha. The Gemara says it has to be rinsed out, and the inside and the outside, it has to be clean. So on Shulchan Aruch it says, the commentary, the basic commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch write, what if I keep my becher in a cabinet? So I washed out the becher after I said Havdalah, I put it away in the cabinet, and it's clean the whole week, no dust, and no one's using it. It comes next Friday night, it's nice and clean, so I don't have to rinse it out again. So the others write, the Hasidim have a minig based on the Kabbalah, and the Sfardim have, many Sfardim have such a minig as well. You always rinse out the cup, even if it's clean. Even if it was kept in the cabinet all week long, you still rinse out the cup. So that's why some have such a practice. They quote that Rav Kook, Zichron Livracha, used to have this practice. He would rinse out the cup 4 times on Pesach night. The first time before the Kiddush, the second time before you fill it up, the second time. If you're going to have leftover wine, you're going to throw it out. So that's why there's a recommendation to finish the whole cup of wine. Then you rinse out the cup before you fill it up the second time. That by the bench, and you rinse it out a third time. Then for the fourth cup of wine, you rinse it out each time. Even though you're the one who drank the wine, it's your leftover wine. There's nothing wrong with me drinking my wine. It has my germs. I got the germs anyway. No chash of germs, but still, the halacha says that you should rinse out the cup each time, even if it's clean. That's what some are makpid. So then we start reciting the Haggadah, which is a special mitzvah on Pesach night, Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every night of the year, every day and every night, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We recite, when we daven Shacharis and Ma'ariv, we say three parashiyos for Kriya Shema. So the first two parashiyos we understand, it says we should recite B'shach B'chol V'kamecha. We should recite these parashiyos when we wake up in the morning, when we go to sleep at night. The third parasha of Kriya Shema has nothing to do with Kriya Shema. So the reason why we recite Vayomer, the third parasha, every day in Shacharis and in Ma'ariv, is because of the last pasuk of Parshas Vayomer, the third parasha of Kriya Shema, contains the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every day of the year, Vayomer Balayla, we should mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Pesach night, we daven in Shul already, Ma'ariv, so we already mentioned Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is the Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim adding on? What's special, what's unique? So the answer is no, this is a different mitzvah. The Chiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we fulfill every day of the year, we just mentioned one pasuk in Farsik V'yotzeh. But Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil Pesach has to be Barichas, Kalamar B'lesaper, Areza Meshubach. The longer, the more psukim you say, or the more comments you say about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the greater the mitzvah is. And the Mishnah has that L'chatchila, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night is by talking to someone else. Someone should ask me questions and I should answer the questions. It should be back and forth, give and take. So that's what's special about the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. We do not recite a bracha over this mitzvah. Usually, when you put on a talis, you recite a bracha when a woman benches lift. When a woman goes to mikveh, whenever we do a mitzvah, man, a woman, whenever anybody does a mitzvah, you recite a bracha. There are a few exceptions to the rule. When you give tzedakah, you don't recite a bracha. So that's the question. How come on Pesach night a bracha is not recited before we fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the explanation that given in the Haggadah, the Maisa Nisim Haggadah, that was written by the author of the Nesivos on Chayshim Mishpat. So he explains as follows. The Chachamim only introduced a Birchas HaMitzvah, the one should recite a bracha before performing a mitzvah, when the mitzvah itself is not fulfilled in the form of a bracha. Let's say we recite Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is a mitzvah. V'achalta v'savata v'erachta v'sashem l'kecha. So the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon is fulfilled by reciting a bracha. So how come we don't say a bracha before we bench? Let's say to say Hamotzi Lechem in Oris is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon to say a bracha before you eat food. So on the mitzvah of the Rabbanon, we also say a bracha before we light Hanukkah candles, before we heard the Megillah. We said a bracha on the mitzvah of the Rabbanon. So how come we don't say a bracha before we say Hamotzi Lechem in Oris? Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot V'Tzivanu Levarach Al Amazon. Or let's say Kiddush. Kiddush is a mitzvah in our Torah to recite Kiddush. So why don't we say Bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Lakeinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot V'Tzivanu L'Kadesh Es HaShabbos. And then you should say Kiddush. So the answer is, whenever the mitzvah itself is fulfilled in the form of a Bracha, the Chachamim never introduced an additional Bracha in advance of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the same is true, the Rishonim say, the same is true regarding Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema itself is fulfilled by reciting parshas from the Chumash. We don't recite a bracha. But midrabbanon, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is to recite Kriya Shema in the framework of the brachas Kriya Shema. We recite brachas before and brachas after Kriya Shema. So the Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is fulfilled by being sandwiched in between all of these brachas. So that's why the Chachamim never introduced an additional brachas HaMitzvah, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvot V'Tzivanu L'Kroes HaShema, because the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is fulfilled al seder HaBrachas. It's not fulfilled in the form of a bracha, but it's fulfilled in the framework of other brachas. So the same is true regarding Pesach night. With the Rabbanan, the Chachamim introduced a takana, we should fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night within the framework of four brachas. The first bracha is the Kiddush, the second bracha is Asher Gealonu, the third bracha is our Birchas HaMazon, and the fourth bracha is what the Mishnah refers to as Birchas HaShir. These are the four cups of wine, each one of them is a bracha ala kos. Like when we got married, when all of us got married, it's under the chuppah. The rabbi recited a bracha ala kos, and when you recite Kiddush, when you recite Havdalah by a bris, I was just at a bris yesterday on Shabbos, so you recite the bracha Asher Kiddush, you did mitzvah, and you recite a bracha ala kos. So there's such an institution as a bracha ala kos. On Pesach night, the rabbis instituted four brachas ala kos. The Kiddush is the first bracha ala kos, over a cup of wine. then Asher Gilono, right before Hamoitzi, then Brichas Hamazon is a Bracha Alakos, and then the Brichas Hashir we'll discuss later is a Bracha Alakos. So because on Pesach night the Chachamim instituted that we should fulfill this mitzvah of Tzitzis Mitzrayim, I'll say the HaBrachas within the framework of HaBrachas, so that's why there was no need to introduce an additional Brichas HaMitzvah in advance. It's interesting, our Seder is very long. The truth of the matter is that we recite two Haggadahs. The Gemara has the Gemara records a dispute between Rav and Shmuel how to fulfill the requirements of the Mishnah. It's interesting, Rav and Shmuel are both students of Rav Yudah HaNasi. He was the man who edited the Mishnayot. So every so often you have an argument in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel how to read a Mishnah. How could it be an argument? They both learned, they were classmates. They both learned by the man who he didn't, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi didn't write the Mishnayot, but he edited the Mishnayot. So what did he tell him when he taught the Mishnayot in class? It's a very strange thing. So the Meiri has an interesting comment on the first daf in Bava Kamma. The Mishnah, you may remember from your youth when you studied Bava Kamma, it says, Ar Bavis Nizik and Shor Bor Mavah in heaven. The Mishnah has the word Mavah, and it's a hard word. We don't know exactly what the word means in Hebrew. It's not an easy word. So there's an argument between Rav and Shmuel what the word means. How can it be an argument? What did they learn together? They were classmates. But each one wrote different notes. What did Rabbi Yudah HaNasi say when he was teaching Mishnah? So the Miri explains that Rabbi Yudah HaNasi picked the word Mavah because there were two old traditions. Which are the Abavas Nezikim? So he says, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi picked the word that can satisfy, and he told the students there are two traditions. Which are the Abavas Nezikim? So he picked the word that can fit in with either tradition. And Rav Shmuel had an argument, which tradition do they think makes more sense? Not that they had a new argument, what does the word Mavah mean? Rabbi Yudah HaNasi told them there were two traditions, and he picked the word Mavah because it can mean either A or B. And they had an argument, which makes more sense to them. So you have the same over here. The Mishnah says in Psachim that when we fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzis and Tzrayim on Pesach night, we should fulfill it in a special order. We should be Maskol B'Gnus U'Mesayim Mishrach. We should start off by giving background, which is a little bit not complimentary to the Jewish people, and then we should conclude by saying the Shvach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Geula. So there's an argument between Rav and Shmuel, how does one fulfill this requirement of Maskol B'Gnus from the time of Shvach? So Lemaisa, we recite two different Haggadahs, that's why it takes so long. One Haggadah is Avadim Hayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim, used to be slaves, that's Maskol B'Gnus, that's our non-complimentary background. And the other form, the other Haggadah is that Mitzilu of the Avodah Zarah Hayi Avoseinu, our ancestors used to worship Avodah Zarah, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, we no longer worship Avodah Zarah. So these were two different traditions in the days of the Amoraim, which is the correct Nusach to recite in the Haggadah. So the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim that the practice was for many generations that they said both Haggadahs. So we say two different Haggadahs. We recite the Haggadah of Rav as well as the Haggadah of Shmuel. We start off the Haggadah, it's interesting, we start off the Haggadah with the statement Baruch HaMoch and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shinas and Torah Lam Yisrael Baruch Hu. So it sounds a little bit like as if we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us the Torah. Every morning before we start the davening, we recite Birchas HaTorah. If a person gets an Aliyah, even though he already said Birchas HaTorah, he says again Birchas HaTorah over the Aliyah. So they quote in the name of Rashi, the Rishonim quote in the name of Rashi, that the reason why one says again the Birchas HaTorah, I already said Birchas HaTorah before I started davening. Why do I say again Birchas HaTorah over the Aliyah? The answer is because when you get an Aliyah, there's a new specific form of that. When I say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you can fulfill Liman HaTorah however you enjoy. Some people enjoy learning Tanakh, Gesundheit. Some enjoy learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Some learn Chayyada, Mishnah Berurah, whatever. Some learn Mishnayos, Gemara, Anyankis, whatever you enjoy learning. Art scroll, whatever one enjoys learning, you can learn Gesundheit. So if there's no specific form of what Liman HaTorah is, Zohar, whatever tickles one's fancy, whatever part of Torah a person enjoys learning, so the Birchas HaTorah goes on all the miscellaneous forms of Liman HaTorah. But when you get an Aliyah, that's a specific form of Liman HaTorah. It has to be dafka like that. It has to be Kriyas HaTorah, the Parshas HaShavua has to be dafka that. So whenever you have a new form of Liman HaTorah that has to have a specific form, Then Rashi says we require another Birchas HaTorah. So Lamaisa, that's what we do on Pesach night. We said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. When we daven Ma'ariv, we said Avasalam, Eishes Salam Chalafta. Avasalam is again a Birchas HaTorah. We said Birchas HaTorah in Ma'ariv. So what do we say? Another Birchas HaTorah before we start the Haggadah. Baruch Hamok and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasim Torah, Lam Yisrael, Baruch Hu. The answer is because on Pesach night there's a new specific form of Limud HaTorah. The CPCS Mitzrayim has to be fulfilled with a specific form of Limud HaTorah, namely the Mishnah says Msochim. We should recite the Parsha of Arami Ovid Ovi, which is the Parsha that the pilgrims would recite when they brought the Bikurim after Shavuos, when the people would bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, they would recite Arami Ovid Ovi. So we recite Pasuk by Pasuk, and then we darshan the Parsha. Darshan means we break it down to phrases. Arami Ovid Ovi. We comment Kamoshenema, and we quote another pasuk from Tanakh somewhere that sheds light on this pasuk. That you shouldn't give just a pasuk shot. The darshani means you give a deeper meaning to the, a deeper interpretation to the pasuk. So since the mitzvah of Sipitiyat Mitzrayim at Pesach night has to be fulfilled with a specific form of Liman HaTorah, that's why the Rishonim have this comment on the Haggadah. That's why we require a new form, a new Birchas HaTorah in advance of the reciting of the Haggadah. And it's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out that we say Keneged Abba Bonim Dibur Torah, that CPCS Mitzrayim has to be fulfilled in the form of Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah is for all of our children. We shouldn't think that Liman HaTorah is only for the brightest who are cut out for answering Rabbi Kevegas Kashas on Taisus. No, Liman HaTorah is Chacham and Rasha and Tam, any of the Elishol Kol Echad V'Yechad Ketzi Madregotzai. You have to give chinuch to all of the Rosh, okay, it's not going to work. But the other three, the Chacham and the Tam and any of the Elishol, you have to teach kol echad v'echad kifi madrigot, chanoch l'nar al pidarko. We shouldn't ignore those who are not so capable, and we shouldn't expect everybody to be in the highest level. We shouldn't go down to the lowest common denominator. You have to give Torah education to everybody, and each one on his own level. And this section of the Haggadah, the Sipitiyat Mitzrayim part of the Haggadah, is concluded with the Bracha Asher Ge'alonu V'Goalas HaVaseinu Mitzrayim. It's interesting, the Mishnah records that Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayam, this Bracha would be a brief Bracha. They would say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Ge'alonu V'Goalas HaHigyonu HaLayla Zeh Lechel Bot Pesach Matzah Humara. Amen. That was the end of the Bracha. Fasting. After the Churban HaBayis, they had to change the Nusach HaBracha. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon lived as Man Abai, so he said a short bracha. Asher Ge'alon, and the goal is, have a say to Mitzayin, Higyanu, Alayz, as Alechal, by Pesach, Matzah, Mar. And everybody said, Amen, and they drank the second case of wine. After the Churban Abai, Rabbi Akiva said, you can no longer say that. You have to say, Higyanu, Alayz, Alechal, by Matzah, Mar. You leave out Pesach. Then you say, Atzfila, Kein, Hashem, Alkein, Yagiyenu, Lemayadim, Lugar, Machelim. The Rebbeinu Shlom should give us the tzchus, we should live till next year. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and then then we'll be able to eat from the Korban vessel. So because after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, the bracha contains two different themes. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Geula in the past, and we offer a prayer that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and give us the Tzchiyah to participate in the eating of the Korban Pesach again. So any bracha that contains more than one theme has to be Chosemes B'Baruch. You have to conclude. So that's why you say again, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisroel. In the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the bracha was a bracha of Tzara. It only had one theme. We thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Sha'avar. We thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yitzias Mitzrayim, for giving us the Siyah to participate in the eating of Pesach Matzah Umara. Over this second cup of wine, we just said Baruch HaGof, and over the first cup of wine. So depending how many grandchildren you have, it will determine how long it's going to take. So let's say no grandchildren there. It only takes 20 minutes from the time that you said Kiddush till the second cup of wine. So does it make sense that you say Baruch HaGof and Nochamo? Baruch HaLevatol, he just said Baruch HaGof and before. So there's a big dispute in the Rishonim. So the Sfardim, most of the Sfardim have the practice, which recorded in Rabbi Yosef Kara's Shulchan Aruch. The Sfardim do not say Baruch HaGof and over the second cup of wine, nor did they say Baruch HaGof and over the fourth cup of wine. The cup of wine that you bench over, that you have no choice, you have to say Baruch HaGof, because once you say Birchas HaMazon, so the benching is a siluk, that's the end of the meal, that's the termination of everything. And even if you had in mind with the Bar Piyagafen in the beginning to cover the wine after the benching, you still have to say a Bar Piyagafen over the third cup of wine that comes after the benching. But the Shah is the fourth cup of wine that you finish the Hallel, you just said Bar Piyagafen over the third cup. So the Minhag Svar generally is, the Hasidim usually follow Nusach Svar, but they don't follow Minhag Svar over here. So the Svarim, the real Svarim have the practice, they only said Bar Piyagafen twice on Pesach night. Over the first cup and the third cup, and the second cup and the fourth cup, they don't say Bar Piyagafen. The Minhag Ashkenaz is that we say Bar Piyagafen four times over each cup of wine. Question is why? Why wasn't it covered with the Bar Piyagafen? We said before, so the commentaries on the Gemara give different explanations for that. What is difficult, but they don't even explain, is that normally all year long there is a dispute between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel when you say Kiddush or Havdalah. What do you say first? You say first say Bar Piyagafen, then you say Kiddush. They say no, it's like a hefsek. Why should I say Bar Piyagafen first and then say Kiddush and then drink the wine? So Beis Shammai are of the opinion is say Bar Piyagafen last. However many brachas you're going to say, Bar Piyagafen comes last, and then you drink the wine without any hefsek. We don't follow Beis Shammai. We follow Beis Hillel. We say Bar Piyagafen first, and then we say Kiddush, and then you say Abdullah under the chuppah. First say Bar Piyagafen by the bris. First say Bar Piyagafen. Then you say Asher Kiddush you did me better, and then you drink the wine later. The one exception, Tosafot says, the one and only exception to the rule is benching. If you're going to bench alakos, so you're going to first say Bar Piyagafen and then say benching. Then when you want to drink the cup of wine, you got to say again Bar Piyagafen, because the benching is a hasilah kasuda. That's the end of all the food. So what are you going to fadin? What are you going to gain by saying Bar Piyagafen before the benching? If the benching itself will be a hesach hadas, then you have to say again Bar Piyagafen. So by benching, even the Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai that you say the Bar Piyagafen after the benching is all over, not before. So that's the problem. Why by the second cup of wine and the fourth cup of wine, according to Minhag Ashkenaz, that we say Bar Piyagafen? Why do you say Bar Piyagafen after Asher Gialona Baruch Atah Hashem Gol Yisrael Bar Piyagafen? And all the Haggadahs, that's the way it's printed. Why shouldn't you say the Bar Piyagafen right before you begin the reciting of the Baruch Asher Gialona? We don't all like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai always say Bar Piyagafen after you say the Baruch Alakos, and then you drink right away. But we always follow Beis Hillel. And Taisa says the only exception to the rule is benching. Taisa says in Baruchas. So that's a major problem that's not really... Some of the commentaries on the Haggadah address it. They don't really give satisfactory explanations. That is a problem. In the Gemara it says that when one recites a bracha ala kos, one says Kiddush, one says Birchas Hamazon ala kos, so tzorch lahagbi o tefach. The proper practice is that one should pick up the cup, a tefach above the table, in order to recite the bracha. So this is a question. When we recite the bracha Asher Gialonu, this is really a bracha ala kos. So just like when we say Kiddush, everybody picks up the cup of wine when you say Kiddush. So the same should be when you say Asher Gialonu. You really pick up the cup of wine. And same thing, the Birchas Hashir. After you complete the Hallel, after the meal on Pesach night, we complete the Hallel. So it says in the Mishnah, one recites the Birchas Hashir. The Birchas Hashir is from Nishmas Kol Chai. So you should really pick up the cup of wine when you start saying Nishmas Kol Chai. So that's a problem. Not everybody does it. Many people do, not everybody does it. Others have the practice that they pick up the cup of wine not only for Asher Gialonu and for Nishmas, they hold the cup of wine the whole time that they recite Hallel. Where does that come from? The Gemara has a din that Ein Onim Shira El Al Hayayin. When you recite the Shira, there should be wine in connection. What is it talking about? So the original statement in the Talmud is referring to the Kohanim who would pour the wine on the Mizbeach. They pour the wine on the Mizbeach when the Levim are singing the Shir Shal Yom. We said this morning, Hayom Yom Echad B'Shabbos, we said the Shir Shal Yom is Hashem Horatim La Tevel V'Yeshiva. So the Levim would sing the Shir Shal Yom while the Kohanim would be pouring the wine. So that's the original intention of this statement in the Talmud. Eirayim Shira El Alayan. The Levim should recite Shira while the Kohanim are pouring the wine down the pipes in the Mizbech, the Shisan with the pipes in the side of the Mizbech, and the wine will get absorbed below the earth. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Tshuvas HaRashba that the same is true regarding when you have a bris. When you have a bris, and somebody says the bracha, Asher Kiddush, you did Mizbech, then that's a Shira, So that bracha should be recited alayayin. The halal is also shiro. So that's what many have the practice. Some can't say many. A minority of people have the practice that they hold the cup. It's a long time to hold the cup. They hold the cup not only when they say Kiddush and Asher Galon and Birchas Hashir, they hold up the cup the whole time when they say the halal, that's also a form of shira alayayin. On Pesach night, we have a break in the middle. We recite half of the Seder before and half of the Haggadah after, and then we have the meal in the middle. So maybe we'll have a break now. We'll have some Azinus, and then we'll break, and then we'll continue the rest of the Seder later. Okay.